True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
I wonder, Dibs, if we could get an honest answer from Kyle Shanahan, if the way the first half went for Brock Purdy, those three interceptions and a couple of other turnover-worthy throws, potentially, that ultimately ended up not being interceptions, I wonder if that influenced how the second half went. Because the Niners threw the ball 23 times in the first half. Brock was, I believe, 14 for 23 in the first half. And they only threw the ball 9 times in the second half. Some of it is because they had a lead, but it was only 10-3 at halftime. That's not like a gigantic enough lead to just move away from the pass game almost entirely. But the dichotomy in the number of passes, first half to second half, to me, makes it seem like not that Shanahan has lost trust or lost faith that Brock can do it, but it was almost like, all right, he doesn't have it tonight. I'm moving away from the guy because I know that we might be able to hold on and win this game the way our defense is playing and the way that McCaffrey is running the football, as long as we just avoid those turnovers. And the way Brock is going right now, maybe the only way to avoid the turnovers is to throw it less often. Do you think that Kyle Shanahan went into that halftime and kind of changed up the plan based on how the second half went?
No, I think that he looked at it and said, oh boy, we're running it really effectively. And I look at that first drive coming out, you throw it, Robinson with a run, two Kittle passes, and so you came out throwing, and then CMC runs for 5, Robinson 8, Robinson 4, Robinson 1, CMC 3. You were chewing up yardage on the ground. You were very effective on the ground, and then 3rd and 6 at the 29, opening drive, second half, you throw it again. Juwan, first down, back to the ground, and then you run it in with McCaffrey. So you ran it to be able to throw it in the second half. You were running it so effectively. It was only that second drive where you had 1st and 10 at their 16. McCaffrey loses 3. McCaffrey loses 5. And then, all right, now it's 3rd and 18. You're going to run it for Robinson and then kick the field goal. Other than that, you were running it so effectively, you didn't really have to throw it that much.
You know what that second half reminded me of, though? It reminded me of not the Packers NFC Championship game 2019, which was, I guess, early 2020.
Yeah, I was there.
When, that's cool. When Raheem Mostert ran wild.
Wild.
And, I mean, how many pass attempts did Garoppolo have in
that
game?
I think it was 8.
Something like that.
Yeah.
That's a different story because the Niners just ran the ball absolutely amazingly that entire game, and they were putting up big points, so you didn't even need to pass to score. The game before that, though, it was the Minnesota game. That was the divisional round game versus the Minnesota Vikings. Niners at home at Levi's. And they were up, how much were they up at halftime of that game? They were up 14-10 at half of that game. So it was still relatively close. And they only threw the ball 6 times in the second half. And Garoppolo was 3 for 6 passing in the second half of that football game. They went on to win 27-10. The defense put up a shutout. They pitched a shutout in the second half, and the offense scored 13 points. It reminded me of that kind of game, and I'm not trying to compare potentially the way Shanahan felt about Garoppolo to the way that Shanahan feels about Purdy, but I don't know, Dibs. I can't shake the feeling that Shanahan saw the way Purdy was playing and thought he's not having it. He doesn't have it today. For the betterment of the team, I'm going to not take the ball out of his hands, but I'm going to limit the number of plays that he could potentially make a backbreaking turnover in this game, and I'm going to lean on the defense and the run game to eke out this victory, and they got it done. Now we'll see what that means for this week, but I don't know. I couldn't shake the similar feeling that I felt watching that game a handful of years ago and that game on Monday night.
Yeah, I don't really think about it in those terms, especially when you come out and you throw it for the first times, for the first five plays in the third quarter to start things in a game that at that point was 10-3.
So the rest of the half, he threw the ball four times. Is that true then?
And I'm looking at the play-by-play. I had it as 10 passes, and I might have had one that went down as a run that actually was. I had it down as a pass, and it actually was a run. You know, sometimes those sideways, backward quarterback throws, they go down as a run. I might have thought it was a pass, and I'm going to look at the one which they lost 5 yards on. That might have been one that they actually called. They might have called that one a run play based on the trajectory of the pass.
But I was looking at the first half box and then the full game box, and I did the math in my head, so it's possible that I messed up the math just by one, but it was either 9 or 10. I think it was 9.
Now, it is the one that I had down as a pass where they lost 5 yards. That actually was a run. So it turned out I was wrong. You were right. 9 passes in the second half, and of those 9, 4 of them went for a first down. So I don't think that it was as easy as, boy, we don't want to throw it. Opening drive, third quarter, 3rd and 5. He throws it. Kittle gets 7. Move the chains. And later in that same drive, 3rd and 6 at the 29-yard line. You throw it. Jennings for 10. First down. You move the chains. So I think that it was more a byproduct of, we've got the lead. They're not really stuffing us on the run. They were able to get 4, 5, 8. 4, 1, 3. I mean, mostly averaging 3 and 4 a carry. And if you do that, you keep it, you run it. And I've been doing the numbers ever since Shanahan started, Grandy. They are 51-7 all time when they run it 30 or more times. 51-7.
Wow. How many games has Shanahan coached now with the Niners?
I have it here because I've been also charting his home.
What are you charting?
His home road splits, and they are better under Shanahan on the road.
Really?
40-33 on the road, 37-33 at home in the regular season.
Wow.
So that's basically the Shanahan split.
So he is 78-66 overall, regular season.
Right. So that is 154 games. And I have it here that they're 27-59 when they don't run it 30 times. And I know it's chicken or the egg, because when you're winning, you run it more. But when you run it more, you're winning when you're Shanahan. And I think that this second half was a great example where you've got the lead, and it was a short, controlled passing game, not very risky, and you ran it effectively. Now you're up 17-3. Even though they answered with a touchdown, 17-9, that was at the end of the third quarter, basically, and say, okay, go ahead and try and stop us. McCaffrey run, 17. Kittle pass, 19. Now all of a sudden you're in their territory again, and at that point... Yeah. It was run, pass, sneak, run, field goal. They were able to possess it, keep it, and really squeeze the life out of Carolina on the ground.
By the way, I don't disagree or am upset at Shanahan for that being the strategy. If it was, it sounded sound. It was, you have a lead going up against an offense that's really having a hard time versus your defense. Whether you feel great about your defense or not, that was the reality of that game. Smart to just run the ball. Now, maybe give a little more touches to Brian Robinson as opposed to Christian McCaffrey 30-plus every single game. We could argue that, but the plan made sense, honestly, in my mind, especially given the way that Brock Purdy was throwing the ball in the first half. Obviously, Brock Purdy throwing 3 interceptions is not a good thing, and no one is going to ever say otherwise. Just I'm a little concerned, Dibs, that you pay Brock what you pay him, and you get to a point where in the second half, and maybe you're right that maybe this was not even on Shanahan's mind, but the idea could even cross your mind that maybe we should limit the number of passes in this football game because the guy is struggling that much. That is frightening to a team that is paying him $50+ million.
But you're taking a leap that he did that because he was a little bit reticent or reluctant to throw the ball. And I don't think that was the case just watching it back. Fourth quarter, they threw the ball three times. That's a fact. They threw one to Kittle for 19, Jennings for 7, and then on the last real drive of the game, third and 12, you threw it to D-Rob for 8, and then you had your only punt of the football game.
I don't know how he couldn't be reticent to do it the way the first half went, though.
But you're not reticent if it's working. It's one thing if it's third and 7 and you're running the ball. Okay, then we could say, man, that's a red flag. But I'm looking at the drive chart, third and 5, opening drive, third quarter, they threw it. Third and 6 later that drive at the 29, they threw it. So if you're really that afraid and you're up 10-3 and God, you are terrified to let Brock Purdy throw the ball and you're at their 29 on third and 6, you give it to McCaffrey. But they threw it and they picked it up. Two plays later, they scored the touchdown. So I think that there might have been a little reluctance to throw the ball down the field. That I will give you, because of all the throws, I didn't chart the air yards on the 9 throws in the second half, but I can only remember the one to Kittle, which was 19 yards, where it was about 17 yards of air. That was one where Kittle kind of went down the left hash and was able to cut it in and go up there and catch it, and he got tackled almost immediately. But beyond that, all the throws were really, really short, quick throws, safe throws, but why not if it's working, you know?
Yeah, and all throws aren't created equal, you're right. Like, it is one thing where, all right, we're throwing it to McCaffrey in the flat, and we're throwing a screen, or Kittle's over the middle 5 yards down the field. Like, that's, I don't care if your quarterback is over 8 with 8 interceptions. You trust them to make that simple throw over the middle part of the field.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
But I do. We are at a point, Dibs, where Brock Purdy has to be better than he was in this game. Absolutely. Now, I was encouraged that the way the defense played and the way that the offense still moved the ball despite them turning the ball over three times. There's no doubt, though, that if they want to do anything in the postseason, Brock Purdy has to be better. That's not breaking news at all. I'm just concerned that some of the same things that have been kind of hurting Brock Purdy for over a year now still seem to be hurting him now, and maybe Greg Cosell would disagree, and he'd say, well, his processing was still good. last year or whatever, and he said it wasn't as good, as elite as it normally is in this game on Monday night. I just go back to what he told, I believe it was Albert Breer in the offseason, when he said, I was trying to be, you know, the superstar and playing hero ball too much because McCaffrey was out and yada, yada, yada. I needed to score a lot of points. And that's kind of been the mindset of this Niner offense this year, is with all the injuries on defense, we have to score a lot. So maybe on the back of Brock's mind, he's taking more chances than he should, and that's resulting in these turnovers. I don't care what the reason is, Dibs. He has to move past that, because for whatever reason, he's taking more chances, and it's resulting in more turnovers than it has at any other point of his career, and it's hurting the Niners.
At times, game one, he took a chance and threw it up for grabs, and Tonjes went up and got the high point and scored a touchdown. They won the game. That was a chance that he took, and
different, like, final drive of the game, last minute, or whatever.
You had a field goal that you could have kicked, even though at that point you couldn't wait to get rid of your kicker.
Shanahan, I think, said he would have gone for it on fourth down if they didn't get it.
And fair enough, and whether or not Brock knew that and that's why he threw it, we'll never know. But that was a chance that he definitely did take, and we've seen him take chances before. The problem that I had with this game is that the chances that he took were just bad throws, and they were late throws. They weren't him rolling left a couple years ago and firing across the formation to Ayuk in the back of the end zone, who jumped above three people. Like, that was reckless, but that was aggressive. And these were chances, but they weren't throws that seemed to me to look very confident as throws.
Yeah.
And if you want to talk about Brock this Sunday, and, you know, Brock needs to be better, well, this is a game where he's going to have a hard time. The Browns have given up the second fewest passing yards in football. Mm. And this year they've given up the high water mark. They gave up 252 passing yards to Minnesota. They gave up 95 against the Bengals week one, Burrow. They gave up 42 to the Jets, which the Jets.
That doesn't count.
I mean, I guess it doesn't count, but they gave up 120 to Miami at home. They gave up 149 against Green Bay in a win over the Packers, 13-10. So this defense is going to make even good quarterbacks look, you know, somewhat ordinary.
Yeah, it's a challenge. There's no doubt. Okay, we got to take a break. When we come back, the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy, joins us. The Warriors honoring both he and Bob Fitzgerald tonight at Chase Center. Both of them have been calling Warriors games for 30-plus years. So we'll talk to Tim Roy about that honor, plus just this Warriors team and this game tonight versus the KD-less Houston Rockets. That's what's coming up. Also coming up tomorrow, we will bring you Chiefs-Cowboys at 1 o'clock, Patrick Mahomes versus Dak Prescott as you're eating your Thanksgiving feast. Chiefs and Cowboys, 1 o'clock tomorrow, right here on 95.7 The Game. But Tim Roy is next. It's Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Grandy with you on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Willard. He's off spending time with the family for Thanksgiving. It's Dibs and Grandy with you.
And the R&B stylings of Cam on the ones and twos.
So you can always tell when Cam is behind the glass running the show, because he plays the good stuff.
Yeah, the R&B from the 00s and the 10s. Nothing beyond that now. Got to keep it smooth. And I think you might have missed your calling. You could have been, and maybe you still will be, a great R&B radio DJ.
Mm.
That was Case and JoJo Jodeci, for those of you with a special someone tonight.
Cam's got a good voice for that, too.
Great voice.
He can do it.
He's got the ethos. He's got the grooves. He's got the jams.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not too late for you now, Cam.
Yeah. Cam is our Warriors network coordinator, and he is in action tonight because the Warriors are in action tonight, hosting the Houston Rockets. No Kevin Durant. We'll talk more about that game later on. Also, right now, though, because we go out to the River Islands guest line for the great Tim Roy, who is live at Chase Center as we speak. Tim, welcome. It's Dibs and Grandy with you. I was on Twitter scrolling, and then suddenly a news release from the Golden State Warriors popped onto my feed, and the headline, Warriors to celebrate Bob Fitzgerald and Tim Roy, 30-plus years of broadcasting with the Golden State Warriors. 3-plus decades, Tim. That is amazing. Congratulations on the honor. We love listening to you every single game here on 95.7 The Game. Do you know how the Warriors are honoring you at Chase Center tonight?
I don't know. I have no idea what's going on.
We know this, Tim. It will be a celebration sensation, as you very well know.
Yeah, it's just nice that they don't have to do anything special. It's just nice to for them to point out we've been doing this on the radio side a long time. You know, I've had the pleasure of working with great people and great broadcasters, and whether they be on the air or off the air. And you know, I've said this at the end of every season. It's I get to do a job I love. Something that I wanted to do my entire life, which is to do play-by-play, and to do it with people that are not only really good at what they do, but to do it with people that are my friends. And that, that to me, has been one of the coolest things about this whole situation, is I've gotten to do it with friends. And then the icing on the cake is I've gotten to do it here in the Bay Area with, you know, an incredible fan base. So blessed to work for this fan base all these years because they know the game. They're passionate about the team, and they've always been passionate about the team. Even when the Warriors were lousy, they were passionate about the Warriors. They wanted them to do well, and that just makes the job so much easier knowing that, you know, I'm putting in all this effort for a fan base that really appreciates it.
Yeah, and the icing on the cake, Tim, is that the win totals are no longer in the teens. You actually got to call playoff games and now four championships, and you're a part of the best dynasty that the Bay Area has ever seen. Did you ever think 30 plus years ago that you would have been able to taste even a tiny little nibble of what you've gotten?
No, you know, from my days with the Kings, you know, from 89 and then coming here in 95, and, you know, to go to 2006, 2007, and we hadn't seen a playoff game. And so when you go that long without participating in the postseason, you really tend to appreciate it. And the We Believe team will always have a soft spot in my heart just because of how cool that was, what an incredible few months that was. And, you know, they got there and then upset the number one seed. And then, you know, they draft Steph Curry. You know, a couple teams passed on him. And to watch him progress and Steve Kerr arrives and, you know, just incredible. I never thought I would get to an NBA Finals, and the fact that, you know, I've done six of them it's absolutely insane to me. You know, there's so many great announcers who never got to call a championship, you know, team. Al McCoy in Phoenix. All the years the Suns were like, you know, they were one of the model teams of the association, and they were in contention to win it every year, and they never won. And for, you know, for me to have a championship, you know, rings, and for a guy like Al McCoy to get none, it's still hard for me to wrap my head around stuff like that.
The Warriors are set to honor both Tim Roy and Bob Fitzgerald for 30-plus years of broadcasting for the Warriors, and Tim Roy with us here on Willard and Dibs. And no better way to celebrate that honor, Tim, than with an NBA Cup game, am I right?
Of course. It's a big game. Warriors have to win to stay alive, you know, and hope to get some help somewhere, you know, between Portland and San Antonio. So it's a big game tonight. It's also a big game because it's the Rockets. And, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. And these two teams saw each other 12 times last year. 12 times. Five in the regular season because of the extra game on the Cup situation. And then seven in the postseason. And the Warriors came back and won that series. And so there's always going to be a little, you know, animosity when the Warriors and Rockets play, just because the Warriors have had their number in the postseason since Steph Curry has arrived, and so it just adds a little extra to it.
Not quite the same cast of characters or villains with Dylan Brooks gone and Jalen Green gone, but just looking at Alperen Şengün early on in this season and what you saw last year, Tim, is he on the cusp of not only being an all-star, but really emerging as one of the great, true great players in our league?
Yeah, I think he is, because of the fact that he's so well skilled. He is, you know, he's talented. He can handle the ball. He is strong. He's big. He rebounds. He passes. He's got just about the whole package. He's maybe not the defensive guy that maybe he could be, and maybe he will be. But I think, you know, overall, offensively, he is a load, and he's only 23. So he's going to be, you know, a lot better once he gets around the league a couple more times. So, yeah, he's going to be one of these young players. And that's been the great thing about the NBA is that, you know, every now and then, you know, people say, oh, it's the passing of a torch now this era. Who's going to step up? There's always great young talent coming into this league, more so than ever before because of guys like Şengün who are coming from overseas, you know, to find their way to the NBA. And that's going to help this league continue to have a high level of talent and entertainment.
Tim, this Rockets team is very good and off to a really good start, but no Kevin Durant tonight out for personal reasons. No Steven Adams, which is a big absence as well. This was a Rockets team that, what, rebounds 40% of their misses on the offensive glass, which is just an absurd number. Their defense, though, also one of the best in the league. What is the challenge for the Warriors offensively? I know Steve Kerr has talked about how he's a little more concerned by their offense than their defense. So what is the challenge against Amen Thompson and these other good defenders the Rockets have?
Yeah, I think the challenge is to keep the ball moving. Don't let their length dictate where you're going to go. And if the ball sticks against a team that's longer than you are and more athletic than you are, you're going to get into trouble. But if you get the ball moving and get them, you know, going side to side, I think that's when, you know, the Warriors are at their best. And Steve Kerr keeps repeating these numbers in press conferences, you know, keep the ball moving, but also take care of the ball. And when they have won the turnover battle, they're 9-1. It gives them a chance to shine with some of their offensive players, but they've had turnover problems. That's why their offense has been so poor, I think, and is turnover problems and having the ball stick a little bit. They have enough talent, I think, to be a good offensive team. They just haven't been able to show it so far.
What have been the, I guess, the through lines or the trademarks of the turnovers, Tim? Is it just bad passes? Is it offensive fouls? Is it dribble situations? What have you seen as the biggest culprit for the turnover problem?
You know, I think one of the things, you know, Dibs, I think really is that you got to keep it simple sometimes and take what the other team gives you. If they give you a 15-footer, take the 15-footer. If they give you a layup, take the layup. And I think at times the Warriors have gotten caught up in trying to make the outstanding play rather than just the simple play. And that, what does that do? Well, now instead of taking an open elbow shot, you're dribbling into traffic. And now the shot clock's coming down. You're trying to make a pass, a skip pass cross court. And, you know, all those things, I think if you just keep it simple and take what the defense is giving you, it's okay. You know, the Rockets are a good example of this. They don't shoot threes hardly at all. They shoot them very well, but they don't shoot threes. They will throw the ball. You know, sometimes their best play is to throw it up off the glass and go get it. And so taking a two is okay. You don't have to always look for the home run three. Take the best shot that's been given to you.
For the Warriors, Tim, no Jonathan Kuminga tonight. No Al Horford still. I know the Warriors have said Al Horford is also going to miss Saturday's game. Kuminga, though, they said, quote, hopeful for him on Saturday. I know he's down in Santa Cruz, or was, I don't know exactly when, but scrimmaging in Santa Cruz today along with D'Anthony Melton and Gui Santos. Good sign there for D'Anthony Melton as well. Specifically, though, on Jonathan Kuminga, how has his absence impacted the Warriors? Because it certainly feels like there's been a handful of games. Maybe the Blazer game is the best example of when they really, really could have used Kuminga.
Yeah, that's a game where you could have put him maybe on Denny Avdija for a while, and even if he didn't stop him, make him work a little harder. He would give you some athleticism, you know, on the offensive end to use. But, you know, again, I think they've kicked away, I think, three or four games so far, and I think that's something they're going to have to try to make up later on. But I think they've missed Jonathan there, where they can put him on a good offensive player and allow him to use his length and athleticism to try to slow that player down. And on the other side, I thought there were games this year where I thought the games felt really comfortable to Jonathan, like he was really seeing the pictures, as they like to say, and making the right move, the right play, keeping the ball moving. His rebounding's been at a career high, and that's a good sign because he can be a great rebounder with his ability. And when they get that, that helps and takes pressure off everybody else. So yeah, they've missed him in a lot of areas, and I think that you know, getting him back and getting him back into that headspace, I think would be great because he could really be an asset for this team.
Yeah, hopefully the Santa Cruz stint will be short and the knees feel really good and he can come back and make that contribution. I'm wondering about Brandon Pajemski, Tim, because you see him every single night, and fans are really split on whether or not he's a regular contributor or he gets more minutes than he deserves. What have you seen from Pods this year that have you feeling good about his spot in the rotation?
You know, I think they tried the starting lineup for a while, and it just didn't seem to get the Warriors off to a good groove, if you will. And I think him coming off the bench, working with Jimmy Butler, I think will help. And I think that's what we see. I think that his role may be coming off the bench this year and getting into an offense with Jimmy Butler and making that work. I think at times, there have been, I think he's been trying a little too hard in terms of, again, trying to make a home run play as opposed to the play that was given to him. But I think we're seeing signs of him coming out of that two nights ago. He comes off a screen, elbow jumper, just knocked it down. Those are the kind of plays I think that, when Pods makes those plays and keeps the game simple, I think that's where he really can shine, because he's a smart player and he's a hustle player and he's willing to sacrifice his body to take charges. And I think he can be a great asset, for Golden State. But again, it's early in the season. We're hitting the quarter pole here this weekend. And so I think that, for the Warriors to be where they are with the schedule they had, I think it could be better. Maybe it should have been better record-wise than it is right now. But I don't think it's anything that's going to hurt them long-term.
Tim, we're looking forward to listening to you on the mic tonight. We'll hand it off to you in about 2 hours at 6:30 for a network pregame. I'm curious, though, as the Warriors are set to honor you and Fitz for 30-plus years of broadcasting with the Warriors. You've been to 6 finals, as you talked about, called some amazing moments, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and so many others. Is there a moment or two that stand above the rest that you will remember calling and being there for the rest of your life?
Wow. I mean, especially in this era, there are so many moments. You could Steph Curry's backcourt shot to end a quarter in Memphis in 2015. Mm-hmm. That basically just took the air out of that building. Draymond's block in Toronto at the end of Game 5 in the 2019 Finals. He just got a fingernail on it. The ball changed spin just a little bit. And I knew he had gotten a piece of it. And of course, I think Steph's, his masterpiece, I think, was in Boston. The Warriors are down 2-1 in the Finals. They lose that game. They're going home down 3-1. In a really tough spot that it's going to be hard to get out of that. And so for him to go into Boston, put up 43 on what was supposedly the best defense in the league, and to get that series back at level, and to get the Warriors in the proper frame of mind to close it out 2 games later, I think that's one that I'll always remember. Then, of course, any of the playoff games in 2007 at Oracle were just ridiculous in terms of how loud they were. The dunk by Barron on Kirilenko, was kind of their high water mark of the year. But those games against Dallas, those are ones I'll never forget.
All cute answers, Tim, but the correct answer is being there when I shot threes against a listener the night that the Warriors set an attendance record at the old Oakland Arena against Denver in 2008. 20,737 there as I went 1-for-9 from 3-point range, Tim.
Well, I'm glad you didn't bring up the one-on-one you had at Chase Center. That was the battle that would never end.
It's called the disgrace of Chase.
Did we call that on time? Yeah.
I mean, we tried to, but all I know, Tim, is I was down 2-1 to Lorenzo Neal 15 minutes in, and I thought I was going to die.
I was worried there for a while for both of you. It was, you think, that's the thing about getting older. You think you can still do stuff, right? I'll be fine. And then you get out there and you go, oh, I'm not fine anymore.
No, not fine at all. Just so you know, Tim, with the win tonight, the Warriors would go to 85 games below 500 since you took over.
And I'm telling you, it's people don't believe me when I tell them that my overall record, not even counting the Kings, my overall record is still below 500. So for a while there, it was me, Ted Davis of the Bucks, because he had those 2 horrible years in Dallas,
right,
and Ralph Lawler of the Clippers. We were the bottom end of the equation.
And I was just looking at it. When you took over up until the last season before, we believe you were 310 games below 500, and then you're 224 above since, We believe. So nice little bounce back there, Tim.
No, nobody could call a blowout like me.
Seriously, you got good at it. You got too good at it.
Tim, great to chat with you. We look forward to listening tonight, the rest of the year, of course. And congratulations on the honor from the Warriors. It's great.
Thanks, guys. And the other part is that, you know, don't be telling Cam to become a DJ. We need him on Warriors Radio.
That's
okay?
A good point.
We
good
need
point.
Him on Warriors Radio.
Yeah, that All was right. The smooth stylings of Aretha Franklin. This is Cam. Back to you, Tim. He can do it. He's got the gift. All right, Tim.
Could be a Venus flytrap moment.
Exactly. Yes.
All right.
Tim Reed, for those
All
who
right,
remember. Yep. WKRP in Cincinnati.
We'll talk to you in a couple hours. Thanks, Tim. That's Tim Roy, the great Tim Roy, radio voice of the Warriors. You can hear him coming up with a network pregame at 6:30 here on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing is, you know, you all want to get one of those jobs, and those jobs are hard to get, even harder to keep, and he takes over. And they go 26-56. And after that, you had a 19, a 21, a 19, a 17, and a 21 win season. Those five in a row.
My God.
Steiny can talk about it because that's when he was really heavy on the beat. And those teams were, like Tim saying, you know, you get used to calling blowouts. And, you know, the Warriors cut it to 18. And it's like, I mean, you try to get excited, but you're on your way to a 60-loss year after year.
After year after year. My childhood growing up as a gigantic Warrior fan
right.
was, can we just like win 30 games, please?
And you were born in 96. Yeah,
96.
So, I mean, your childhood is really, I guess you kind of missed, you were just a baby when they were really, really, really bad.
Yes.
So when you were, say 8, they were, you know, not a playoff team, Musselman and then the Montgomery years and then the return of Nelly. And then
we believe
that's when you were like 10.
Felt
so.
Like a miracle.
Yeah. That's good. Early Grandy memory though. Cause like when you're 10
believe for sure. The dunk on Kirilenko was absolutely absurd. I remember that era of Warriors basketball with Jason Richardson and Al Harrington and Steven Jackson and Baron Davis. And that was even a young Monte Ellis. I remember handful of times where my parents would put me to sleep because it was late. It was, you know, 9 o'clock on a school night or whatever. And Warrior games, or maybe even a little earlier than that, Warriors games don't end until, you know, 9:15, 9:30. And I had at that age, I had a radio in my bedroom, and unbeknownst to my parents, I would bring the radio over to my bed, turn it really low, and I'd listen to Tim Roy.
Tim Roy.
Describe the action.
So
me.
Good. Yeah. I mean, I remember when he took over, and I was doing the same thing as you when it was Bill King. Back in the late 70s, I don't quite remember the 75 championship year because I was only not even 7 at the time. But for me, the heyday was, you know, the Rod Higgins days in the early 80s, then Run TMC, which was unbelievable. And it felt like it lasted forever, but they played like a year and a half together. And then Mitch went off to Sacramento, and then it...
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Was kind of a bummer, and then you had Weber, and you had hope again, and then that whole thing happened, and then from then on, it was just, I love going to games, and the crowds were great, but the team never was.
Yeah.
But you could get tickets. You can get easy to get tickets. Click and roll, warriors.com.
It's a great timeout.
All that stuff.
Buy tickets to see Kobe play is what the promotions used to be.
And so it's hard for me to even sometimes remember and realize and appreciate what we have.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just was looking at the math for Tim because it was 310 games below 500.
That's a great pull by you.
After that, or one, you know, including the We Believe year, which, by the way, they went 42-40. It's not like
they had a better record than next year, if memory serves.
And
but
that
the
was the year where I shot threes against a listener at the old station, and that was the single biggest crowd at the time in, I don't even think it was Oracle Arena yet, but 20,727, and it was three threes from the corner, three from the wing, and three from the top of the key, me against a listener, and I go out, and I look to my left, and sitting on the baseline, Tom Tolbert. And Tolbert's looking, and he immediately is heckling me, because I knew Tom a little bit.
Of course.
First shot up, air ball. Second shot up, air ball. Third shot,
gotta hit rim,
in and out, heartbreak. Well, and the thing, too, is like the first shot, the adrenaline too far, and the second one you adjust, too short.
Overcorrected.
Third one, in and out, heartbreak, and then you go to the wing. First shot from the wing, air ball, and then you can hear, oh, from 20,727. And I can hear Tolbert in my ear like, you know, basically, you got no business being out here.
Yeah.
I hit one and beat the listener 1-0.
That's awesome.
I think I banked it from the top of the circle.
Oh, wow. That shouldn't even count.
Count that.
You didn't call bank.
1-0.
Gross. We got to hit a break in a minute. Plus, we do have the Thanksgiving blowout continuing this hour. If you want to win tickets to Warriors Magic December 22nd, keep listening. I want to get to this call, though, before we break. Big League Chew in the city wants to give Tim Roy some props. Big League Chew, you got 45 seconds. What's up? What do you want to say?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Real quick, I got some shine for Tim Roy. My friend circle calls him Picasso, and I know, Dibs, you're giving him shine on the, how great and, you know, lucky we are in the Bay Area to have someone that has the play-by-play prowess that Tim Roy has. But I don't want to blow up the spot of where Tim Roy is, but I used to go to a gym with him and, you know, every now and then we're cordial and whatnot. But in between games, if there was a home game and he was going to this gym, he would have stat sheets that was probably an inch thick on the current team, the opposing team. And he was on the treadmill for an hour plus every time he was rattling off pages, reading, walking, reading, walking. And, it just shows the type of professional he is off the mic, and then it shows the type of great stuff that he does and produces on the mic and gives us great gifts to the Bay Area. So just shout out to Tim. Love him. Picasso. He deserves all the shine.
Absolutely. Good call, Big League Chew. Appreciate it. We are lucky.
There's
absolutely no doubt.
And you do play-by-play, and you know how much work you have to put in to do high school, college, whatever it is, but you're Tim Roy and you've been doing it now for 30 plus years and there are no nights off.
Yeah.
It's not like you know everything now just because you've been doing it. You got to watch tape and
new
crunch the numbers.
Every year.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. New pronunciations and new everything. And Tim, he crushes it.
He does. So we're looking forward to listening to Tim Roy tonight. Warriors and Rockets coming up at 7 o'clock. He'll take over at 6:30. Okay, time for a break. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Remember, our Thanksgiving blowout continues on the other side. You're going to hear the air horn coming up soon. When you do, that's your cue to call the contest line to win a pair of tickets to Warriors Magic December 22nd. That's what's coming up. It's Willard and Dibs, Dibs and Grandy with you, back with more next on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
No, Willard, it's Dibs and Grandy on Willard and Dibs with Cam bringing us back.
Love it.
With more. I mean, he could just pop the mic on and tell us, you know, who it is.
With apologies to the YouTube audience.
Yeah.
Do a little back sell. I mean, he could do the rejoin. Hey, this is Cam. You're listening to Grandy and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh,
yep. I mean,
I don't think his mic was on.
No, but I heard it through the talk back, but it was good. We'll work. You know, we'll work with him.
We'll workshop it. We'll workshop it. Man, great to catch up with Tim Roy, voice of the Warriors, and earlier than that, we chatted with Greg Cosell of NFL Films here on 95.7 The Game, Willard and Dibs, on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving as we get ready for a big. Call it weekend. You include the holiday as part of the weekend. Big weekend for the Warriors, for the Niners. We've got five picks. I say we. You have five picks to make, Dibs. We'll do that towards the very end of the show, including the Niners game, all three NFL games tomorrow. And, of course, we're giving away prizes all day. This is the 4 o'clock hour, which means we have a prize to give away. That horn, that air horn that you just heard, means it's time to give away our next prize in our Thanksgiving blowout. Up for grabs right now is a pair of tickets to the Warriors Magic game on December 22nd. All you need to do is be the fifth caller to the contest line. The contest line, that's 415-523-4652. Good luck, and remember, if you don't win this time, you have one more chance to win an awesome prize. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. That prize next hour is a Hello Kitty bobblehead. The prize this hour that you're calling for, though, is a pair of tickets to see the Magic at Chase Center against the Warriors on December 22nd. So good luck, 415-523-4652. One thing that we threw out before we went on the air today, Dibs, that we were talking about is, what do you think is the right expectation for Niner fans to have for Brock Purdy this Sunday against the Browns? Because Brock is coming off of arguably his worst game as a pro, and I know you, but everything but the interceptions, he was pretty good, and honestly, you're right.
Yep.
Like, they moved the ball really well almost the entire game, but those three interceptions were pretty darn bad. He's coming off of a terrible game. You're on a short week because you played on Monday Night Football. You're traveling out to the East Coast, not all the way out to the coast, but Eastern time zone in Cleveland. It's an early start for you, 10 a.m. Pacific start. You're against a good defense with maybe the best defensive player that we've seen in the NFL in a really long time in Myles Garrett, who's on a torrid pace of late. And you're probably going to be playing in some kind of inclement weather, whether it's just wind and cold, or maybe more than that with snow and maybe some rain, or maybe it's sleet, a mixture. It feels like a lot of things working against the Niners, but also specifically working against Brock Purdy. So what's a fair expectation for Brock on Sunday?
It is to just go out there and not give the ball away. And I look at the last time he went there, 12 of 27. He threw a pick. He got sacked three times, quarterback rating of 55.3, and they lost to the Browns, led by Philip Walker. You lost 19-17.
Is his name Philip?
It was PJ Walker, but I guess his real first name is Philip. I'm looking at football database, footballdb.com. McCaffrey was mostly ineffective. You rushed it 25 times for 108 as a team.
Philip Joseph Walker.
Ray McLeod with a couple carries in that game. Debo with a carry. And they got you with Jerome Ford and Kareem Hunt. Marquise Goodwin with 20 yards rushing for the Browns.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's always fun. I like to go back and look at these games. But
it was only 2 years ago. That's crazy.
You had a McCaffrey touchdown early. You're up 10-0 in that game. And then it was Hunt, Dustin Hopkins with four field goals, yeah, including two in the fourth quarter. And so the expectation for me is Brock Purdy has to be better than 12 for 27. but I wouldn't expect him to go out there and light it up. He threw for 125 yards, and that was 3 years ago? That was 2023.
2 years ago.
In October, yeah, I'm sorry, two years ago.
Super Bowl year.
Yeah, so...
The first lot, they were 5-0, and they lost that game, and that began the three-game losing streak that set up for the bye week, and then they came out and won 5 in a row again after that.
Right, and that, again, was a tough spot. You go into Cleveland, and it was a good defense then, and the offense for Cleveland then kind of resembles this one, where it's going to be Quinshon Judkins and a quarterback who's not very good yet, not very proven. So my expectation for Brock Purdy is not to go out and throw for 300. The Browns have only given up 252 yards is the most, and that was against Minnesota, of all teams.
Wow.
And I think that was Carson Wentz, yeah, week five. So I would not expect Brock to go out there and, quote, light it up, but my expectation is don't give it away. No careless interceptions, no ball-handling mistakes. Go out there and manage the game and try to win a 19-17 kind of game.
Yeah, if you're a Brock Purdy doubter and if you don't think he's the right quarterback for the Niners in the future and you're concerned that they paid him way too much money or maybe paid the wrong guy, like, that's absolutely fine, and you can feel that way. I'm not going to come down your road for thinking that. I think given what we've seen from Brock over the course of the last year, I think it's absolutely fair to at the very least say he's not worth what the Niners ultimately signed him for. That's not what I'm talking about right now. All I'm going to say is if that's the way you feel and you're waiting for Brock to change your mind, I don't think it's going to happen this week, Dibs. Even if the Niners win, and even if Brock, in your mind, in my mind, in anybody else's mind, plays a good game, a great game, to me, in this kind of environment, against this kind of defense, with that kind of weather expected on the road, again, everything we laid out going against, not the Niners, but just against offense in general in this game, this is a game where a good quarterback performance is, you know, throw for 192 yards, one touchdown, and don't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
Or maybe not even a touchdown, and win the game 17-13 or something like that. This is not a game for Brock to put on his Superman cape and lead the way to a win. This is a game for Brock to play solid, smart, sound football, not put your defense in a bad spot, and just simply make fewer mistakes than your opponent.
And not turn the ball over. I love the way you just put that at the end. And that, to me, it's always about turnovers. The turnover battle usually decides the game. On Monday night, it didn't. You turned it over three times. I think the Panthers only turned it over twice, so you were able to overcome a deficit and win. But against a Cleveland team that you're not really afraid of them going 80 yards down the field on your defense and scoring a touchdown. That's not really what the Browns do. So no mistakes. No mistakes to give them a short field or to give them a free 6 points. I was going back and forth with a friend via text during the show about, oh, the Browns actually have given up more points per game than the 49ers, which is true. Mm. But when you look deep in the numbers, the Browns have given up 3 special teams touchdowns, and they've given up an offensive touchdown where the other team's defense scores. So those points count against your points per game allowed metric. But when you go deeper inside the numbers, the Browns' defense has allowed fewer points than most teams in football.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. What do you expect from Brock Purdy on Sunday? What do you expect? Again, 888-957-9570. This is a game where there's a lot going against, again, just quarterback play in general. And I think what Sunday is, and this is what Greg Cosell was talking about earlier, and I think he's absolutely spot on, this is a game where the most important matchup probably is Kyle Shanahan versus Jim Schwartz. That's the most important matchup in this game. Can Kyle Shanahan be smart enough with his offensive game plan and his scheme to get the Niners just enough points to win this football game? Can he scheme up 20 points in this game? Because if you get to 20, I don't care which team, that team is probably winning this football game. And Jim Schwartz has historically had Kyle Shanahan's number, so maybe this game is on more than anybody else, Kyle Shanahan, to just find a way to do just enough offensively to limit Myles Garrett's impact in this game, just enough to get the ball in Christian McCaffrey's hands in just enough space to find George Kittle a couple of times over the middle for 20-yard gains. Can he do that just enough to eke out a win? Because we're going to do your picks coming up towards the end of the show in less than an hour. The spread is what? I think it's 5.5 now It might have.
I have to look at FanDuel, but I saw it at 4.5 on ESPN.
Even 4.5. If I was, you know, forced to choose a side with 4.5, I'm taking the Browns plus the 4.5 points. Like I think this is a field goal kind of game. Not because on a neutral site, I think the Niners are not 4.5 points better than the Browns. I think they are, but just the way that this game is set up, everything involved, this feels like a Cleveland Brown kind of game, way less so than a Niner kind of game.
Yeah, FanDuel's got it at 5.5 still.
Yeah.
So that's where that one sits.
I'd say Cleveland plus 5.5.
I'm just looking
mind.
At the recent history of Niners at Cleveland. I mentioned the 1917 loss, Brock Purdy. 2015, you lose 24-10. That was a Gabby special.
Oh, Blaine Gabbert.
And some of the names on that team are guys that, like, Traverius Cadet. I don't know if you remember him as a Niner.
Oh, God, I remember that name, but I did
Ruben
not.
Ruben Drones was running the
I
ball.
Know, yeah, Ruben, for
but,
sure.
I mean, that was that team. And then even back to 2007, this will only be the fourth time you've been there since 07. That game you lost 20-7. That was a Niner team that was 5-11. So that was the last game of the year. Chris Wanky throws for a 104 in that game.
Chris Wanky.
And Frank Gore, 94 on the ground, but you lose to a Cleveland team that was actually pretty good. And then you even go back to 1993, you lose 23-13. And that was in week two. So you probably caught decent weather. And that was Steve Young throwing for 274
wow.
and three picks.
Wow.
Beaten by Bernie Kosar. Mm. And prayers go out to Bernie. I don't know if you saw the pictures of Bernie recently. He just had a liver transplant.
I did.
And so, man, Bernie, hang in there. Your name gets invoked here as Kosar better than Young
beats
on
Steve
that
Young.
Day. And
yeah.
I mean, you got to go way back. We mentioned this earlier, back to 1984, the last time the Niners won in Cleveland. 1984.
We're talking about 41 years ago?
Yes. Now, you've only been there four times since 84. You were there in 93, the game I just mentioned, you lost, Kosar over Young. You were there in 07. You were there in 2015, which was the Gabby special.
Yeah.
And then you lost in 2023.
3 years ago, yeah.
So, you know, you only go there. It's been weird because, like, even with the last play schedule, when they've been last, you haven't been last, or they haven't had the crossover. Yeah. You only have played him literally every 4 years going backward, except for this year. This yeah. is the first time. And this is one of those ones where it is last place against last place.
Yeah.
So,
and consecutive games versus the Browns in Cleveland, too, just the way that the schedule has played out.
Right, but if you look at these point totals, 17, 10, 7, 13. The last four visits to Cleveland, and that's across, you know, Hall of Famers and $53 million guys and Gabbert and Wanky. Yeah. And so it's kind of been a constant where the Niners have struggled in Cleveland no matter who's been the quarterback.
Yeah. This is a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. And you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save.
Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.